Lee Chambers
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Food for Thought by UB40, because we're talking food this morning with a knight on a white charger for me, Jamie Mountford, because Richard Spall from Institute Theatre laid low with a bug, put out a call, can anybody come in and chat? Jamie sorted out some childcare and a washing machine, and here you are. Thank you very much, Jamie.
It's really nice to be here, because what me and my son do every Monday is we get up and we have breakfast, and then we tune into you and listen to you at home, and then because we do a lot of food prep, because I'm at work the rest of the week. So what we do is we plan our meals for the week, and on a Monday we prep them, and then we put it in a little Tupperware in the fridge, and then it's just grab and go throughout the week, but it's all healthy, so to speak.
Bless.
And that's what our day is about. And then you were mentioning about going for a 2-mile run this morning.
I did.
And I was like, oh, okay, so she's not going to, let's try to get on this. But I gave you 10 minutes to find somebody else.
Oh, it's great to see you. So your son, he's into food then as well?
Massively into food, yeah. He loves his food. He, you know, there was no problem in weaning him onto food. He was just straight into it. I think it's just something biological, probably.
And he likes cooking, though. He likes joining you.
Yeah. He can actually make an omelette at the age of 3.
Really?
Which is scary, really. I just have to be careful with the hobs with him, really, because the heat, he's not very aware of the heat, so to speak. But yeah, he's very good at cracking an egg into the pan and giving it a mix, so to speak. And I'll introduce him to black truffles next week, so maybe when the goose eggs are coming, then we'll make a few omelets and a bit of black truffles.
So remind us of your day job.
I'm a professional chef. I work in the local area. I've been a chef for 17 years. I'm currently working at University Arms at Parker's Tavern with Tristan Welch and another 29 chefs. I used to work at Bedford Lodge Hotel as the head chef. I'm really enjoying working amongst the Cambridge food scene, which is getting stronger and stronger.
It does seem
with
to be,
independence.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. It's amazing the support that they've got for each other. And it's amazing to be a part of the food scene within Cambridge, because, you know, 10 years ago, it was all mainstream, and now all the independents. You know, you've got Alex Rushmore opening up next year. Well, this year, sorry. And I can't wait for him to open up, you know, because he's a leader within the Cambridge food scene, and just really looking forward to it, yeah.
What about you? Would you ever open up your own place?
Yes, I will be opening up my own place. Just I'm just putting things into place now, possibly in the next 2 years, maybe in the next 5. I've just got a few things personally to sort out, like buying a house and making sure Noah's in school first and so on. So.
Big responsibility when it's your own place, because it's your name above the door, so
yes,
if people
also,
don't like
it's
it.
It's easy to keep a grasp of costs, so to speak. So I'm going to be in the kitchen. I can keep control of the costs of what's going in the bin, because there's a lot of wastage that goes in the bin. And you can have a place where you can make the menu up every day. You walk into your kitchen and see what you've got. And I used to do it on a Friday. I used to look in the fridges for the weekend.
So it's leftovers, basically.
No, not leftovers. Just stuff that you can get from your suppliers. You know, when you ring up suppliers, what's in season, what have you got? And you get it a lot cheaper than what they're importing it. You know, local farmers, so to speak. You know, I can go down the road and get a venison for, you know, £150 instead of £200, because it's been locally shot and it's all been taken care of, and then they'll bring it in, and I can butcher it down. So I'm saving costs on the butcher's fees. I'm saving costs on the wastage. You know, there's a little bit more research, but I enjoy that because it's a passion, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell it really. Has it always been a passion of yours?
It was accidental. It was accidental. You know, 16, didn't know what to do with life. I wanted to go in the army. Just to get away from home, I think. Growing up in Stoke-on-Trent.
Yes,
it's not a pretty place sometimes. I think the best thing about the place is the pottery and Robbie Williams, and he's in LA. Kind of accident. I was working in a butcher's at the age of 15, cycling 20 miles around Stoke, cycling for Stoke Speedway. And then I met a chef who needed a pot washer, so I gave all that up and went and worked for him in the restaurants. And then an opportunity came up for somebody to work on Christmas Day, and I was like, oh, I'll do that. And then he got me into the kitchen, started teaching me stuff. And then before I knew it, he used to be Gary Rhodes' sous chef down in London. And before I knew it, by the age of 17, I was working in London in the top hotels, basically, at Renaissance Chancery Court, 5-star, and then for Marcus Waring at the 2 Michelin star, well, was formerly 2 Michelin star, Petrus in London. And it was brutal. It was absolutely brutal.
Is it brutal? I mean, I see it on MasterChef, you know, when they go into the kitchens and it looks absolutely brutal, but they all come out at the end of it saying, it was brilliant, I want to do this forever. And you thought, what?
Yeah, well, it's adrenaline. It's adrenaline, it's the people you meet, it's the ingredients that you use. And, you know, the best thing about it is that you're on your feet, and, you know, and you're thinking constantly on your feet, you're running around, and before you know it, you shift over. Because you're just constantly active and you're constantly going. I mean, I couldn't sit down on a desk and do a desk job at all. You know, you've already said to me, stop tapping your hands and stuff, because I'm really fidgety. I've got so much energy. And then, you know, it is a passion. And the people that you meet, the food that you work with, and the best thing about it is the people that you work with are family. They feel like family because you nurture them, you progress with them, you bounce ideas off each other. You know, I created a trio of beef once, and it was based on a steak and chips, basically, but I did it with cream potatoes, some blush tomatoes, ox tongue, ox cheek, and a small little bit of fillet. And one of the lads next to me goes, you know what that needs, don't you? I goes, what's that? He goes, an onion ring. And then we created this onion ring between the two of us. And the dish, it finalised the dish. It was a posh dish, but it was steak and chips at the end of the day. And it was just those feelings in life that you get from connecting with people like that. It just makes it all worthwhile, I think.
And I suppose some people are creative with paint or with words, and your paint and your words are food.
It's food, yeah. It's like I've just been saying to you, in my kitchen at home is my workbench from the shed, basically. It's my butcher's block and all my ingredients in front of me. And that's where, you know, even at home I cook like there's no tomorrow. Some chefs don't. Some chefs do like to order takeaways and so on. But I find it helps me to develop my skills at work, really. You know, at work I'm providing for a customer base that are wanting things that they don't normally have. Now at home, what I can do is cook for myself, but also introduce myself to different ingredients, different styles, and different ways of doing things. I think the other day I did a naan bread topped with tandoori chicken, mango chutney, and some shaved parmesan and rocket on top. A bit like a pizza, really, and it was amazing. Now, could I have done that at work? Possibly for the staff, but I'm not sure if they would have been happy.
If you had your own restaurant, this could be, you know, your signature dish.
Yeah. But it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's good.
Well, let's talk healthy foods. Are you a big fan of healthy food?
Massive fan. I do enjoy the odd cheat day. Because
you've got to have a bit of
gooiness in there somewhere. but my I take 2 hours a week, maybe 2.5 hours a week. So this begins with food planning. So as you know, with your supermarkets, you can go online and you can order everything online to go and pick up. Now, what I find with this system is it's fantastic because you don't spend any more than £60 to £80 a week. You know, when you go into the supermarket, you spend a little bit more. You spend an extra, in my opinion, an extra £30 on things you don't need, which end up in the bin. So I take this strict mentality. I'm going to do the food shopping at home, but whilst I'm doing the food shopping, I'm going to look at research recipes for the food shop.
So you're planning your meals?
I'm planning my meals because I haven't got time the rest of the week because I'm at work or I'm at the gym or I've got an hour. So I'm planning my meals, and you'll be amazed at how much money this actually saves and how little goes into the bin, and anything left over gets put in the freezer for that time you don't get time to plan. So then you can whack it out of the freezer, so to speak. And then what I also do, because I work shift, so I'd either do an early, which is 8 till 5, or a late, which is 2 till 11, 12 o'clock at night. So what I do is I look at the shifts I've got and then plan which days I'm going to go to the gym and what days I'm going to do at the gym. Swimming will be one of them, the other one will be weights. And then I will cycle 10 miles 5 days of the week to and from work, so to speak. And this all requires energy, this all requires food planning, and there's some amazing recipes out there. I follow some of Slimming World's recipes, which are fantastic because it contains a lot of vegetables.
Who's this recipe?
Slimming World recipes are fantastic for following. Same with Joe Wicks. Joe Wicks is amazing when you're trying to build muscle. With Slimming World is amazing when you're trying to lose weight.
Slimming World, that's not just for people who are slimming, they're just good recipes.
They're fantastic recipes, and the best thing about this is that it's a big chain that has invested so much money into research with food to make people lose weight, because that's what they want. And I did Slimming World 2 years ago, and I lost 4 stone straight within 6 months, and it was so easy, and all it was just basically controlling. It was just controlling what you ate, and as I mentioned earlier, you know, keeping a food diary. So you writing down everything that you're eating, you go back to that and you think, wow, do I eat that much? So keeping a food diary is fantastic. And then the best thing with Slim World is that most of their recipes are vegetable-based. I think we're meant to eat, we're recommended to eat 5 fruit and veg a day, but I think 8 to 9 vegetables a day. And it's so easy to incorporate in your cooking.
Yeah, in Europe, it's much higher, the recommendation. Yeah. It's 5 in the UK, because that's what they thought they could get away with.
Yeah,
they thought the British probably wouldn't take anymore.
I think it's because we have such a drinking culture in the UK. People just go for the easy option, so to speak. But like I say, if you food plan and have, you know, some time to do your meals and put them in the fridge and Tupperware, it's fantastic. You'd be amazed at how much energy you have and how much weight you actually lose just by accident. I think one of my first weeks at Slim World 2 years ago, I lost 7 pounds in 1 week. And it was amazing. All I did was change completely what I was doing. And I had a lot more energy and I was exercising a lot more. But the problem is when you exercise and you are trying to lose weight, the scales aren't the best thing, due to the fact your muscle weighs heavier than fat. So basically, the measurements. So taking measurements, taking photos of yourself, half naked, not fully. You never know where they might end up.
Well, and how your clothes feel. How many notches you can go on your back. So, I mean, why do you stand on things like carbohydrates? Some people cut out carbs from their diet completely.
I don't think you should. As long as they're good carbohydrates, sweet potatoes and so on. Just go with good ones. Don't go with the bad ones like chips. You know, think about how things have been cooked. Are they being deep fried? You know, it's almost like having a fried breakfast. Now you could deep fry everything, or you can actually cook it all in the oven. Which one's more healthier? You know, some people say that your sausage, bacon, it's all protein. Then you got an egg on there, that's protein. Baked beans are fantastic. They're just slightly full of sugar. You got tomato on there. It's all healthy food, and it's filling you up. Now, compared to some cereals which contain too much salt.
And sugar,
yeah. And, you know, they're now saying that orange juice isn't good for you because the amount of sugar that it takes. Now, you know, you've got to find your own comfort zone, what you're happy with and where you're going with it, really. But, yeah, like, you know, I personally think get as many vegetables in there as possible. Slow cookers are great. You know, if you don't have time to pre-prep your meals, whack everything in the slow cooker the night before you go to bed. Leave it on, and when you come back, it's fine. You know, you can do lasagnas in there. We did a whole chicken in there a couple of weeks ago. Wasn't fantastic, but it did the job. Didn't have time to cook a whole chicken for an hour and a half, so just whacked it in the slow cooker. And what I tend to do with chicken in there is add some ham stock to it. And then this adds a bit of saltiness, a bit of sweetness, and then it slow cooks and it keeps its moisture. Also, we do a whole ham in the slow cooker, and the stock left over from that you can do with the chicken, or what you can do is blitz it, add some peas to the stock, mix it in a food processor, and add some chopped mince, a bit of mustard, and this gives you pea and ham soup.
I'm guessing from all the things you said, you're not participating in Veganuary.
No.
You're not. You see, I'm speaking to a vegetarian, but you're not. Vegetarian inclined or going for
vegan, I do enjoy going out to restaurants. I'm picking the vegetarian option only because it requires that a little bit of extra attention from the chef, and they've got to think outside the box from
a good chef will. I mean, yes. I've had some appalling vegetarian meals out.
I hate them using cheese, and what else? Risotto,
goat's cheese, risotto,
everything's
all
mushrooms. You know, I don't mind mushrooms because it's a bit more of a substitute for meat, but it's just cheese and a risotto. I'm just, everywhere you go, it just seems to be that vegetarian option, doesn't it? But there's so many options. I think Stuart at the Blue Lion, he was doing a Japanese protein, and he did a doner meat kebab, and it was vegan. But it wasn't meat. I can't remember what the protein was. It was Japanese.
There's things like tempeh and corn and tofu.
Yeah.
It used to be all tofu, but now there's many. No, I can't stand tofu.
It's just plain, isn't it?
Well, it's slimy. It's the texture. Yeah, but there are lots more options now. I mean, what's your favourite vegetarian meal? Go on.
I love a stuffed mushroom pancake. Even though I just said mushrooms, with a white wine cream reduction, port syrup, and a parmesan crisp. It's one of my signature dishes when it comes to vegetarians. Vegan wise, roasted,
that sounds lovely. Yeah.
Vegan wise, I love butternut squash and sweet potatoes together. I absolutely love it. So a butternut squash, sweet potato, rosemary lasagna, or you could actually do a crumble. So do your normal crumble mix, but without your sugar. So what you do is you cook it all off, add your garlic, your rosemary, your shallots, your base, basically. Chop down your butternut squash and sweet potatoes. But best thing to do is roast it. Because if you boil it, it loses all. It just tastes like water. And then when you roast it, you get more flavour. Make sure it's tinfoiled so it creates a bit of steam in there. Add some chopped tomatoes again. Some tin tomatoes are fantastic. If you can get cherry ones, tin cherries, they're really nice and sweet. And then just mix it all together. And then if you really can't be bothered to do a lasagna, just get some flour and butter. Where is it? 50% flour to sugar to put. So, yeah, so if you do 100 grams of flour to 50 grams of butter in the food processor, and that will create a crumble, a bit like an apple crumble. Stick that on top of your mix, put it in through the oven. Bing, bong, boom. You know what I mean? It's done.
Bing, bong, boom. Bing, Let's bong, leave boom. It on bing. We can't beat bing, bong, boom. Well, thank you ever so much,
no
Jamie.
Worries,
thank
no
you
worries.
For stepping up to the plate today and filling
fun.
That gap.
Lovely
to meet you because you message into the show now and again. So nice to meet you. When are you next working? When are you next?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow straight in lunch at 8 o'clock in the morning and until about 5 or 6 at night, really. So, yeah, it's all go again.
Okay.
And it's not slowing down. It's fantastic.
Not slowing down. No, as you say, it is good. It's good. It's hard work, but it's good.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy your day off
Thank
and your
you.
Time with Noah. Thanks ever so much.